In late May 2012, crops in the central U.S. breadbasket looked in good shape. However, an unexpected drought occurred in just weeks, causing an estimated crop loss of $35 billion. It is called a flash drought. Scientists are investigating. Is sudden drying more frequent on a hotter planet? Why do flash droughts happen, and can we predict them? We get the latest look from a paper published in Nature Communications on March 3, 2022. The title is Accelerating Flash Droughts Induced by the Joint Influence of Soil Moisture Depletion and Atmospheric Aridity. Our guest is co-author Brian C. Ansell, Associate Professor in Atmospheric Science at Texas Tech University. From Lubbock, Texas, Brian Ansell, welcome to Radio Eco Show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
We think of drought as a long period without rain. What is a flash drought?
Yes. So flash drought is something that happens much quicker. So indeed, we have this idea that droughts develop over long periods of time, usually months. But a flash drought can happen significantly faster. It is the combination of lack of rainfall with other atmospheric variables that promote drying soil conditions. And flash droughts can happen on periods of a handful of days.
The term flash drought seems pretty new. I hadn't heard of it before. It first showed up in a scientific paper in 2002. Are flash droughts a new thing, or are we just finding out about them?
I think they've probably always been around just because they depend on atmospheric conditions that have always been around. I think they've been studied more recently. I too, have not heard the term flash drought until recently when I became part of the study that you mentioned at the beginning of this segment here. So, yeah, I think they've been around. I think we've just been understanding them better and studying them more recently.
Your new paper was led by Yaman King and Shou Wang from Hong Kong Polytechnic University. Are flash droughts a worry for China as well?
Yeah, I think China can experience flash droughts as well. There's really no part of the globe that's immune to them as long as you have an area that can combine low precipitation with other atmospheric conditions like low relative humidity and high temperatures, things that can quickly deplete plant root zone soil moisture and affect agriculture. Really, Southeast Asia is a place that has lots of moisture, and the study has found that places with more moisture actually experience these flash droughts more frequently.
Yeah, that's kind of counterintuitive. We think about drought, we think of desert-like areas, but flash droughts are more likely, you say, in humid or partly humid places. Queensland, Australia had one about 3 years ago that was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and I think, and the reason for that is that dry areas are more used to those conditions, right? So if you have moist areas that experience dry conditions that reduce root zone soil moisture quickly, those are conditions that these areas don't experience as often and probably provide more of a shock to the system, so to speak.
Are you seeing flash droughts even in Texas?
That is a good question. I don't know if the flash drought is a big proportion of what the drought monitor tracks. I'm always looking at the drought monitor, the U.S. way that tracks drought all across the United States. And it doesn't discern between flash droughts or these other types of longer-term droughts. Although I imagine, again, that anytime you have these conditions of dryness, which Texas certainly experiences quite often, with higher temperatures that, as you mentioned, are happening more frequently with climate change, that flash droughts are occurring in Texas.
A lot of this does have to do with the soil moisture to start with. It reminds me of a conversation I had with a leading Canadian fire scientist, Mike Flanagan from the University of Alberta. I said, how could there be more large fires in the boreal forests when that region is forecast to become wetter as warming continues? And he says, well, the thin Arctic soil can go from wet to dry within just 3 or 4 hot sunny days, and then it's ready for fire again. But I guess if it happens in more humid areas, we're not really looking at these flash droughts as contributors to more wildfires, say, in the West and in Canada and the U.S.? Or have you looked at that at all?
I personally have not looked at that, although it's an interesting take on that, you know, in terms of areas that become wetter, you know, in terms of the fuels for fires, right? So that probably throws out of whack all of the kind of previous, preconceived notions we have about the interaction between the atmospheric conditions and the fuel conditions that allow for the fires in the first place. So I would assume that more humid conditions would promote higher fuels, and then drier conditions and those wetter, once wetter conditions could be especially dangerous for wildfire.
Well, a key question for farmers and for ecological systems, all sorts of living things, is how fast can regional soil flip from having enough water to service the plants into a state where both crops and nature systems go into water stress?
Yes, definitely. And water stress for plants is not my area of expertise, but just based on the study and what the lead authors have examined, it's apparently very, very, like you said, a few days where a certain depth of soil moisture can dry out to the point that creates the water stress. So as a gardener, I know that if I forget to water my plants here in West Texas, it's those, you know, they can be half dead in a short period of days, particularly when the temperatures are quite hot. So on those heat waves we have, when we have temperatures, you know, up over 100 and no rain, or even if we had rain just prior to that, the drying is incredibly rapid.
Your paper finds the speed of flash droughts increase with global warming. How much faster, and do we know why they're getting faster?
I think the idea is that being that they're getting faster and happening on a small amount of days, so sometimes even within 5 days, these depend on short-term atmospheric conditions. So obviously climate is the way it is because of the repeated influence of shorter-term weather phenomena. So things like where it's raining, where the jet stream is positioned, and the specific weather patterns that are over a certain area. So as climate changes, these smaller scale weather phenomena, the periods of rain, the weather systems that go by, these are all going to change. And that will promote changes to the flash droughts themselves, being that they depend on the combination of precipitation and these shorter-term weather phenomena, like short-term periods of high temperatures or very dry conditions. So yeah, I think it's strongly linked to climate change, and it can be expected to be something we'll want to predict in the future in terms of agricultural output.
So when you do a global study and you review the data, do you find the number of flash drought incidents are increasing as well?
It seems to be from this study that is not the case. I think one of the main conclusions is that that's not happening, but what is happening is that they're happening faster. And my interpretation with that is that it's the interaction of precipitation that overall doesn't increase the number of flash droughts, but just increases the rapidity based on the warmer nature of the shorter-term weather phenomena that interacts with that lack of precipitation.
Yeah, it sounds like a mixed bag. A 2021 paper on global distribution of flash droughts found, quote, 6 of the 15 study regions experienced a statistically significant increase in flash drought during 1980 to 2015. In contrast, 3 study regions witnessed a significant decline in flash drought frequency. So I guess it's dependent on a lot of very regional and atmospheric conditions. Is that why it's so variable?
I think you hit it on the head. I think that's exactly why. So climate change all boils down to that. It's all local and regional. So overall, you may have an average warming of the planet, but regionally, we're certainly going to have areas that are cooler, wetter. You know, when you add that up over the whole globe, you're going to get some kind of overall change, but regionally, things are going to be very different. So I think what you said about the flash droughts is that they're probably going to change location. Overall, I think the study suggests that overall the number won't increase, but regionally, I'm sure there are going to be very large differences as the climate changes.
Well, looking through news stories, it seems the most distressing part of this phenomenon is the lack of warning. It takes time to arrange and set up irrigation, even where that is available. And normally farmers expect a few dry days, so they want to wait it out until the rain comes. But pretty suddenly, crops either die or give very poor yields because of the flash drought. Can scientists provide better warning systems?
I think so, and this gets into kind of my area of expertise, which is more short-term weather prediction. And so if these flash droughts are really being focused into a period of days, you know, that's an area where our predictability of the atmosphere is larger than it is for, say, longer-term droughts, which are harder to predict. So if these flash droughts were a feature that we have to worry about in the future, I think that in terms, at least for predictability, I think we can look at that favorably, because as we get to shorter timescales, and just look at a few days ahead, we can actually better predict these atmospheric phenomena that bring, say, periods of a few days of much warmer temperatures or lower relative humidity. The actual amount of precipitation is much better predicted shorter times into the future. So I think it would actually be kind of integrated into a good early warning system for these flash droughts. I think understanding the actual specific weather features that that cause them and the link between those, there's still some work to do there. But once we have that, I think we can predict those features, much like we try to predict things like severe thunderstorms and where those are going to occur.
Brian, you've worked on a lot of interesting papers, including the weather impacts of wind farms. What else are you studying these days?
Yeah, so I think two kind of main branches of my research now. One of them is really getting into the societal application side. I'm really excited about this side because I feel like it's some work I can do that matters to to the world. And the project I'm working on in that realm is called the HUMS project, which stands for the Home Utility Management System. This is a project that really tries to build a new concept for utility management. So it looks at a decentralized residential utility model that's meant to solve problems that society we feel will see here in the future, also related to climate change. So things like disaster resiliency and having a stable water and power supply in society as those things happen, as the climate changes and potentially water resources start to dwindle in certain parts of the world. And, of course, the cost of utilities is also becoming unmanageable for some people. So this project works on decentralizing the system, having at specific homes the ability to capture rain off of your roof and store that water, and then use solar panels and batteries to store power as well, and then use an interactive system that works with the resident to look at how you've been using your power and water in the past, the current level of stored water and power, and then through the weather forecast, which is where I come in, trying to predict the recharge of those resources. And so if the system knows all of those things, it can better inform the resident on how they can use their own collected resources to sustain those resources. And the project focuses on that, with also with a connection to the back to the grid. Of course, if there is a long period of drought, like we've been talking about, there will be no water eventually, but if the grid is still connected, they can use that water. The point of the project, though, is to try to sustain the resources that they collect locally to minimize the need from the grid and potentially help society cope with dwindling water resources or changing power resources in the future.
We have been speaking with Assistant Professor and Atmospheric Scientist Dr. Brian Ansell. You can find more links to follow up on flash droughts, including U.S. government fact sheets, in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Brian, thank you for sharing your time with us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.